Hey, you're listening to the Encounter Church podcast. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit us at ecdenver.org, or you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thank you for listening.
Hey, hey, how are y'all? Nice to see you. Look at your neighbor, give him a cheesy smile, say nice to see you too. All of y'all online, this is my cheesy smile for you. So glad you're here. And what do you call... Mandy, are you ready? Wait for it, wait for it. What do you call the knees on a cow? Burger joints. I know, you guys just come for the jokes, I can tell. That's the main attraction. I get it. I'm totally teasing. Hey, quick FYI, thank you so much for coming. And a lot of you probably saw the advertisement on Facebook. This is my latest book called Hey God, Can We Talk? And I might get misty, sorry. But this is really meaningful to me with you because you afforded me the opportunity to do this series Wednesday nights. And out of it came, honestly, it's probably the best book I've written. It is off the chain. So I made the dedication to you because you're my church family. And after church, I'll be out there to sign them. We have a discounted price and all that. So if you want to get one, you can. But I just want to thank you for being family with me and putting up with all kinds of shenanigans, right? Poor jokes. And the list goes on. But thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But that'll be at the end. Just to continue our series, we started this series, a couple weeks ago with Reese. And then last week with Eliphaz. And I want to continue in this idea of wisdom. And wisdom for our daily living, wisdom in our life. Now, here's an interesting question. Any of you look at Google or YouTube in the recent week or 2 weeks to get, number one, information and or figure out how to do something? Like the whole planet. Everybody online, we're all waving yes. And it's helpful, right? Just Google it. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, we didn't know the term Google it. But now it's everywhere. We all just Google it. And we Google pick something. I probably am on Google, 3-5 times a day, looking up different stuff. I go to YouTube. I want to see, my latest interest is Chernobyl. That's a different rabbit trail. But you're like, why? I know. I get it. But I think sometimes we have this idea that Google and or YouTube, and I love YouTube because, you can find all kinds of helpful information. Some of my family members are now the best chefs in the world because they have gone on to YouTube and they learn things that just are astounding to me. But I just want to point this out because I think we can have the misconception that Google and or YouTube make us smart. Kind of. But in thinking about wisdom, and wisdom isn't always the same thing as being smart, I just want to point this out. In James 3, verses 13 to 17, 18, it talks about earthly wisdom and spiritual wisdom. And wisdom that is earthly, there's going to be jealousy, selfish ambition, disorder, very much disorder, and every evil thing. But wisdom that from above, spiritual wisdom, is pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. Just because we can get natural earthly wisdom doesn't mean that it's the same thing as spiritual wisdom. There's a drastic difference, family. And today I want to talk a little bit about spiritual wisdom. And so the ushers are passing out to you, and we're going to do some fun stuff because it's typical Sarah, something random out of the box, not all bad, mostly good. You like to be guinea pigs, that's not bad, sort of. So you have this sheet, and the ushers have passed this out to you. If you haven't gotten it yet, you can just wave, and they'll be happy to pop one over to you. But I would propose to you that this message is about spiritual wisdom. It's a continuation of the series. But there was several years when I would read a proverb a day. So that's kind of one of those 31 Proverbs, one for every day. We've been there, done that. And there were several years when I did that. And I'm just going to be really honest with you because you're my family. Everybody online, be gentle. You're my family too. But there was a time when I got bored with it. I got tired of reading a proverb a day. And you're like, why is that? Well, because I felt like it was quippy, like little short glips and quips and, you know, money and tongue and self-control and okay, you know. But it was hard for me to stay with it because I didn't feel like it was a narrative or it was action. There was no action in it. It felt just, not just informational, but it was just hard for me. Anybody ever struggle with that? Thank you for the honesty. If you have not, then, you know, that's awesome. But the one proverb that never was boring to me, or that I, that sounds bad, I get it, but I'm just being honest, why not, right? But the one proverb that helped me kind of stay the course is Proverbs 8. And that's what you have in your hand here is Proverbs 8. And TPT means the Passion Translation. I picked that one because I felt like it's the most accessible, easy to read, and we can engage with it the most. The reason Proverbs 8 is the most interesting to me is because it is written, almost all of it, in the first person, which means it is spoken from I, wisdom, am talking to you, Nathan. I, wisdom, am talking to you, Bill. I, wisdom, am talking to you, Linda. So I like that it's first person. Again, me and my conversations, right? You're like, you do this conversation thing. I do. I don't know why, but it really is attractive to me. So when I read this, and I read this for years and years and years, it was very interactive to me. Hey, Sarah, I'm talking to you. If somebody's talking to me, it makes me tend to perk up a little. I'm talking to you specifically, not just in broad, but specifically you. And so when you look at this chapter, it says in the very first couple verses, can you hear the voice of wisdom? Now, part one at the very top, it says here, where does she chat? Where does she chat? Now, I'm going to walk you through this kind of briefly, a little bit quickly, because at the end, I'm going to allow some time for us to do some discussion among ourselves, right? If you were here last fall, we did the parable kind of discussion group thingy, and that was really, really cool. And I got massive, fantastic feedback from that. And I was like, you know what? I think this would be another great format to do some conversation around this. So I'll help you kind of work through it, but with some questions at the end. But I'd like for you just to think about it for a moment. In verses 2 and 3, where does wisdom chat? And if you notice, it says here, from the tops of the mountains of influence, she speaks into the gateways of the glorious city. A gateway. Anybody ever been like into a gateway or an entrance? Is it usually a place where there's a lot of people? It can be. Like I think about when I get on an airplane or if I go into the airport, you go in the doors and that's a lot of people going in and out. And I think that's interesting because if you keep going, it says at the place where the pathways merge. So at the crossroads, at the entrance of every portal, where she stands, ready to impart wisdom, shouting aloud to all who will enter, preaching her sermon to those who will listen. And in my mind, I always had this idea that wisdom was when I was still and quiet and kind of reflective and I could be attentive. But when I read these verses, it says to me that wisdom calls out in the busyness of my daily life. Wisdom will talk to you and me at the crossroads when we're making decisions, go left, go right, when there's a fork in the road. If you read different translations, all these verses don't imply a place that's like super quiet and reflective and like a convent or a monastery. This implies the heavy duty traffic of daily living. And I want you to appreciate that wisdom can and does want to talk with us in the midst of all the daily humdrum, all the stuff, anxiety, anything that's going on in the daily weeds of your existence. And it doesn't mean you have to suddenly turn into this, you know, like contemplative, whatever, in your daily humdrum, back and forth busyness. And then it says, to whom is she chatting? Who's she talking to? I love this. I am calling to you, sons of Adam. Yes, and to you, daughters as well. So if you're a feminist, you're not excluded. is getting kind of little levity. Verse 5. Listen to me, and you'll be prudent and wise. Listen to this. For even the foolish and feeble can receive an understanding heart that will change their inner being. If you think that you are wise, then sometimes you're going to turn off wisdom. If you think you're smart, if you think you know a lot, then be careful. Because sometimes your own thoughts, your own ideas will decrease your awareness and hearing for wisdom. Anybody hear the quip, smartest man in the room? Smartest woman in the room? That quip is a person who thinks they know it all, and they don't listen, they don't learn, they're not attentive. I know everything. And family, I want to say, if you say, well, I'm not foolish. Sometimes we are foolish. And it would behoove us to take the low road and say, I have room to learn, to grow. I have some areas in my life where I am foolish. I have some places where I really, because when we don't listen, when we think we know it all, when we're not willing to learn and grow and have some course corrections, then we become foolish. That's where foolishness exists. Sometimes you see this. Sometimes young people think they know it all. Well, Mom, just Google it. Okay. That's on YouTube. I learned that 6 months ago. Fantastic. But when we think we're wise, be careful, because that can be a place of thin ice where we're not listening to spiritual wisdom. Anybody relate to that? Tracking what I'm saying? So then what does she say? Now, I want you to consider. You're like, oh my gosh, you're going to go through this whole thing? We're going to be bored out of our mind. I get it. I'm not. But you will in a little bit. So what does she say? And there are some very key things in here. And in a little bit, we're going to break into groups and kind of talk about that and think and read through it a little bit. And then the power of wisdom. If you go down to that last little paragraph on the front, it says the power of wisdom. I empower, verse 15, I empower kings to reign and rulers to make laws that are just. Family, it would behoove us to pray that our leaders have wisdom. Holy buckets. Whether you like the leader or you don't like the leader, it would behoove us, and it would be spiritual alignment to pray for our leaders. The Bible tells us, pray for those in leadership. Pray that they have wisdom. We need to be praying. That's all I'm going to say on that, because it's a dicey subject. I will empower, verse 16, empower princes to rise and take dominion, generous ones to govern the earth. I will show my love to those who passionately love me, for they will search and search continually until they find me. We're wise to go after wisdom. And it talks about in James 1. If you lack wisdom, ask, and God will give it to you liberally. Now flip over on the back side of your notes there, because on the back it says, credibility check. Who is wisdom? So if wisdom is a person, I, wisdom, talk with you, Reese, you, Patty, you, Dale, you, Steve, Lisa, I talk with you, so who is I? And it's interesting because it says in verse 22, in the beginning, what does that sound familiar to? Right? Creation. You know where I'm going, Anna. Totally, right? Like we're tracking. I get it. So I was there. God possessed me even before he created the universe. From eternity past, I was set in place before the world began. I was anointed from the beginning. Anointed. What does that sound like? Who do we associate anointing with? Jesus, and also who anoints us? Holy Spirit. This is getting more interesting. How many of you are curious? Oh, yeah, me, I am. Okay, so here's what I want you to consider. In Genesis 1, verse 2, it says, the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the earth. The Spirit of God. Who is the Spirit of God? Holy Spirit, right? Tracking? And the idea, Holy Spirit hovering over the face of the earth. In Hebrew, this has the kind of a nuance to it that means to create order out of chaos. So you have Holy Spirit hovering over the face of the earth, bringing order to chaos. And if you read through these verses here, you will see that wisdom here is God's workmanship, God's craftsman, putting in place the foundations of the earth, being present when the springs were made to create, foster vegetation. And then if you look here at the end, at verse 35, I laughed, played, so happy with what he made, while finding my delight in the children of men. Wisdom delights in you and me. So I would suggest it's possible. Please don't take this to the bank. Don't say, Sarah said this definitively. You have it on tape. I am not saying it definitively. I'm suggesting it's possible that wisdom in this situation is Holy Spirit. I know you're like, just read it and you can make your own conclusions, which is the very end here. Wisdom is worth waiting for. And it says here, listen, my sons, to everything I tell you. Nothing will bring you more joy than following my ways. The ways of wisdom help us to have joy. Listen to my counsel, for my instruction will enlighten you. You will be wise and not to ignore it. So in this chapter, it's a very conversational chapter, and wisdom wants to talk with you and me. So this is what I'm going to propose. I'm going to finish a little bit early to give you time to do some discussion with the people in your little group there. So most of us in the room, we're like in little pockets of people. I would like you to, whether you're with two, you might want to partner up with another two people next to you, but I would encourage you, find probably no more than four people around you in your group or whatever, and you can move your chairs. I know that's going to make people nervous, but move your chairs. Circle up together. If you want to put on your masks, you can. If you want to go out to Main Street, there's plenty of space out there. The sun is shining. If you want to feel some robust sunshine, that's a place too if you want to do that. But I'm going to have you discuss among yourselves these five questions at the end. Discuss among yourselves. So you will see that there's a question and it breaks down into who, what, where, when, how, why, that kind of thing. And ask yourselves, there's six questions. Ask yourselves among yourselves and read through each little section and then share in each section what stands out to you. What catches your attention? I would encourage you as well, take a pen and maybe underline some things, take some notes. That's why I made it a big sheet of paper and not a half sheet. So you could kind of keep this with you and think about it. And then as you finish, Reese will come up and dismiss us. Remember the book signing. But as you finish, I would strongly encourage you to consider picking one section. So either this section here where it says the power of wisdom, or what does wisdom say, or the backside where it says the credibility, who is wisdom. Pick one section and read it every day through the end of February. Because this is a place where you can have some ongoing dialogue with wisdom. And I would propose to all of us that we need this in our daily living. And this is where wisdom lives, deep in the weeds.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit ecdenver.org or find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.